Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. It's hour number four of a four-hour program. Good to be with you here tonight. Carlos Ortiz alongside. Just to wrap up where we ended off last hour, I did post in the fantasy chat. I posted. This guy in a dynasty league stopped the draft. He's holding up the draft, the rookie draft. And then he put his pick on the block and said, send your trade offers. And I just responded, if I was going to hold up a draft to make a trade, typically I would be doing the sending of offers. I don't know, just me. Now, why did I do that? I said I wasn't going to do it. I talked myself out of doing it. And then I just had to do it. I have no idea, Carlos, how he's going to respond. Do you think he'll be mad? Was I a jerk? Is this uncalled for? Is this gentle ribbing? We are strangers, me and who I did it to. But, oh, breaking news. I did just get a like from somebody. The commissioner of the league. So I do feel good about that. And now there's some more typing happening. Oh, this is exciting. This is exciting. Speaking of walk-offs, did you see the walk-off in San Francisco?
I did. And how about that finish?
Yeah, so San Francisco's down 3-1 to the Phillies. And it's the ninth inning, obviously, if we're talking walk-off. Patrick Bailey is at the dish. And this is how it went down in San Francisco. Again, they're down 3-1. There's one out. There's two men on. So a base hit scores at least one, maybe two. But could it possibly score three? Now, I don't know what of that you heard. That's some of the worst audio mixing I've ever heard.
Yeah, did he smoke a pack before the bat?
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't even hear the announcer.
That was
NBC
awful.
Sports Bay Area.
Do you want to try to listen to how it sounded on the Giants radio network? Because I have that here for you.
Yeah. Hold on. I want to hear some of this just real quick again. Just listen to how bad. Can you even hear a word? Like, you can kind of hear it if you really squinch your ears, you know, as it were. So, because in, what is this, PNC? No, Petco, right? What's the Giants called?
Petco was the Padres.
Oh, yeah. What is this? Oh, is it Oracle now?
I think so.
Yeah, what was it before?
I don't think it was PNC, because it wasn't PNC the Pirates.
That's Pirates. What was it before?
I have no idea.
What other bank?
What the hell was it before? San Francisco bank.
Oh, AT&T.
What? It was never called AT&T.
It was Pac Bell, then it was SBC, then it was AT&T Park.
I skipped that entire AT&T Park era.
Yeah. Oracle's had it since 2019. All right, let's hear the Giants radio network.
Patrick hits a high drive. Deep right center field. This one is off the top of the wall, and it ricochets, and it's rolling on the warning track. Two runs are in. Bailey coming around third. Patrick Bailey scores! It's an inside the park walk-off home run. Now we've seen everything.
Now that's a call. Good on him.
Well, the other call was fine. It was the audio mixing. I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, some engineers getting fired. But also, it did sound like he ripped off like four heaters before he had bat.
Mm. My kid thought I was losing my voice tonight because I had like a, you know, and I was, for a second, I was like, God, I hope so.
So you could call out?
No, so I could give my voice a rest.
Oh, yeah. Much needed rest.
Look, I had 4 days off and then I worked a real hard show last night. I could have used another break today.
Hey, I'm here, you man. I needed vacation from the vacation.
I know. And then I got up earlier than I normally do.
Oh, that's the worst.
And I tried to go back to bed. It didn't work. Then I did some yard work today. That was very taxing. Then I tried to get a nap at like 6:30 to 7:30, and I couldn't go to bed then either. Oof. So I hope I sleep well tonight.
Me too. We'll I won't, but I hope I do. I hate this new schedule I've been doing. I've been going to the gym for about a month, and it's really cutting into my nap time. So I don't know how to handle this.
What time you go to the gym?
I do these classes.
Oh, you do classes, so yeah. You got to go to a certain time.
Right. So it's 6:30 Eastern, and it's roughly about an hour or so. Sometimes it's a little later. Sometimes it's a little earlier. But yeah, it's 6:30 Eastern. And that's prime nap time for me, because then I get home and, you know, I got a shower so I don't bring the gym stink here. But then I'm walking slow because my knee is shot and I'm tired. And then I have to either eat food or I have to cook and then eat. And it's like this whole process. Basically, my day is over at 6. Before, it used to be over at, you know, 9. And then I come here, which is very backwards, because who has an entire day and then comes to work? But that's what I used to have, and now I've shortened it by 3 hours because I'm trying to get healthy, which is not working because I'm still fat.
Life's very hard for us, isn't it?
Very. And we work 10 days a week, so that's another thing.
Yeah, these are some champagne problems here that we are talking about.
Whoa, you can afford champagne? Lucky if I get sparkling water.
We do have a bottle of champagne in our fridge. We bought it for a certain occasion, and then that occasion did not happen.
It's funny. Maggie Gray, sweetheart, got me a bottle of wine for Christmas last year, or maybe the year before. I don't really remember. It's still there on top of my fridge. I don't know what to do with it. I don't drink wine. I'm sure it looks good. I'm sure it's tasty for what wine is, but when would I possibly open it?
Oh, a bottle of wine? Champagne's got to, you got to have a reason for champagne. Wine, you drink with your breakfast.
Yeah, maybe I'll have it tomorrow.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, I like that. Ryan's in Ontario. Ryan, hello.
Hey, Bert, how are you doing, brother?
Good, what's up?
I want to talk about the Blue Jays. How long do you think the streak's going to go, brother?
Well, we were just looking. So if they beat Chicago again, then they got the A's this weekend, right? You could be 14 up by the All-Star break, but we shouldn't be getting too greedy, right? You don't want to get too greedy. Every day is, you know, its own challenge.
I'm not greedy, brother.
How long do you think it's going to go?
They're going to go 14-0.
They're going to wrap it up for the All-Star break?
I think so, yeah.
How old are you, Ryan?
I'm 30. I'll be 38 in March.
Okay, because I asked because you remember when the Blue Jays got Paul Molitor?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was the first, like, true heartbreak I ever felt as a fan, because I'm a big Brewer guy, and I loved Paul Molitor, and then he goes, the Blue Jays were the team that had a better record than the Brewers to prevent them from getting into the playoffs. And then the next year he goes to the Blue Jays. And I'll never forget that All-Star game the next year, because it was in Toronto and there were like 6 Blue Jays in that game. And Paul Molitor was one of them. And I think I cried to my dad that night.
Oh, I don't blame you.
That was very sad. It was very sad. I just wanted to tell that story, and I finally found an outlet to do that. I was going to tell it last night, but there was no good window, and it's not that good of a story. So you think you'll go rest of the way leading the AL East or what?
Till the All-Star break, yeah.
All right. Well, good. All right, Ryan. We'll enjoy the streak however long it lasts.
Thanks, Bert.
All right, Ryan. Called? I don't know if he had much more to say than the first thing, but I thought he might.
Yeah, I thought that call kind of stretched out a little bit. I was hoping it was going to be a little bit more meat on that bone, but, you know, the Blue Jays, hey, you know, they got league-leading 10 straight. Again, they swept the Yankees, not just a three-game set, it was a four-game set, so Yankee fans are panicking everywhere. I was very happy about that until they beat the Mets and salvaged, even though they lost that series, they salvaged their weekend. And the Blue Jays, the hottest team in baseball right now. Now, I don't know if they can hold on to that division lead. Listen, they got a lot of good players, but I don't think they have the starting pitching to, you know, to really run the gauntlet, so to speak. And I just can't think that the Yankees, and this is not me being New York centric, because I hate the Yankees. I'm a Cubs fan. I just can't think that they would rest on their laurels knowing that they completely got smoked in the World Series. They should have won two games. They wound up one, and they lost one in embarrassing fashion with that fifth inning. That thing is lore. I can't imagine that they're not going to make moves. They need starting pitching. So do the Yankees. The Yankees need a third baseman. I think Toronto, it's a good story, especially since they finally locked up their guy, Vlad. But I think come August, we'll start to see the streaks kind of go back and reset everything themselves, and we'll find the Yankees back in first place, which is a shame because I really don't like the Yankees.
So there's a topic of winning streaks, and then there's a topic of losing streaks. And what are the Yankees on right now, you said?
Well, they just won. They won today. They should. I believe they're on a two-game winning streak because they beat the Mets on Sunday, and they won today after an off day.
Okay, so their losing streak was they've had two different six-game losing streaks in June.
Yeah, they were under 500 for the entire month of June.
Okay, I'm thinking of the Mets. They had a losing streak at like the same time.
Yeah, and the Mets actually had more. I think it went up to seven games.
Seven. So I'm looking at longest losing streaks of 2025. Well, first of all, the Blue Jays right now have the second longest winning streak of the season, the longest being from the Twins, who won 13 between May 3rd and May 17. The longest losing streaks of the season, the culprits?
Sure.
That's
a word that fits.
Yeah, are probably who you'd expect. The A's at one point lost 11. We talked the other day about the Nationals at one point losing 11.
They lost 11, yep.
The Guardians, they had a 10-game losing streak. That kind of sank their chances. They are 6 under right now. So that is like, that I think is a deserved panic. When you have a team that you think is going to do something and they go on a long losing streak and it sinks them under 500, I think there's some deserved panic there. The Orioles, when they had an 8-game losing streak in May, you know, you're like, oh boy, maybe we're not going to be the team we thought we would be. The Rockies have had 4 separate 8-game losing streaks.
Good God.
The White Sox have had a pair. The A's added a 9-game losing streak on top of their 11-game losing streak. But I look at these teams like, when the Mets had a 7-game losing streak, and the Yankees, you know, twice with 6, and the Padres had a 6, and the Cardinals had a 6. Other teams, the Phillies, we talk about a lot about when they got swept by the Mets in April because their fans went haywire, and now they're doing so well leading the NL East. Baseball, when you lose a bunch of games in a row, it blows. Oh, it blows. The Dodgers right now are on a 5-game losing streak. The Dodgers. When you lose a bunch of games in a row, it blows. And I think we have a hard time of remembering that it's a 162-game season. Especially early. You know, if you start bad early, one loss in MLB, you've been waiting for the game so long on opening day, you feel like you're 0-1 in the NFL and you only got 16 more cracks at this thing. But unless your team, like, I feel like there needs to be a number that you get to before you really start panicking. And even if you get to that number, if you're still double-digit games over 500, like, yeah, you're going to probably have a couple of bad stretches. It's a long season. I don't know if anyone's ever said this before. You win 60, you lose 60. It's everything you do in the middle. Actually, who did say that? Because I say that a lot. Was it Yogi Berra? Can you hear me typing?
Great that quote. Was, I have no idea who said it.
Yeah, I want to. Oh, Tommy Lasorda. Tommy Lasorda. You're going to lose a 30-year games. You're going to win a 30-year games. And then there's some teams that prove that wrong, like last year's White Sox and this year's Colorado Rockies.
Oh, the White Sox again.
Yeah, and the White Sox another time. So I like to say save your panic. Let's not freak out. You get swept. That's a shame. Okay. You lost five in a row. Now if you're the Dodgers, okay. I mean, you're still the Dodgers. You're still going to be fine. You are going to have these stretches. Plus, this is a weird time of the year. You do have teams that just check out. So if you can win these games this last weekend of the All-Star weekend, you may think that every game is as important as every other game, and typically that's true, and I kind of just advocated for that. But there are teams that do kind of see that four-day stretch where they've got off, and they can head back home for a few days, or they can hit up a quick vacation with the fam, and they do kind of, you know, check out as one would, like when we're at work and we have a long vacation. Coming up. Nobody listened to last Wednesday's show, Final Hour, please. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I have not done as much Kirk Cousins bashing as I was hoping to do tonight. I will remedy that coming up here on the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I thought I was getting more action on my fantasy football thread or the chat room. Dynasty League. Someone stopped the draft, put their pick on the block, said, send your trade offers. I said, if I was going to hold up a draft to make a trade, typically I'd be doing the one sending the trades. I don't know, just me. Got a like. A heart, actually. Oh, this is on the Sleeper app. Got a heart from the commish, and he started typing, and then nothing. I was unsure if I wanted to be a jerk or not, and I talked myself out of being a jerk. But the guy had a Vikings logo, so I thought, yeah, I need to do that. You know who wore a Vikings logo on their helmet for a while was Kirk Cousins.
What a pro!
Who has some regret about how things played out. The quarterback documentary has hit, season two has hit Netflix. Joe Burrow's in it, Jared Goff's in it, and Kirk Cousins is in it. These are guys that they have followed. I think the I didn't see any highlights of Jared Goff today. I saw a highlight of Joe Burrow where he was very frustrated. The team won, but they were offsides like eight times, and he was mad after a loss, and you saw him be very emotional. I saw that. And then there was a Kirk Cousins clip going around where he's kind of feeling like regret that he left the situation to only end up in basically the similar situation. This was Kirk Cousins from the Netflix series Quarterback.
Ended up signing with Atlanta and was pretty excited about the chance to get down there and start fresh. And then, you know, was pretty surprised when the NFL draft happened. Wasn't expecting us to take a quarterback so high. At the time, it felt like I had been a little bit misled, or certainly if I had the information around free agency, it certainly would have affected my decision. I had no reason to leave Minnesota with how much we loved it there if both teams were going to be drafting a quarterback high. But I've also learned in 12 years in this league that you're not entitled to anything. It's all about being able to earn your spot and prove yourself.
So if I'm not mistaken, Cousins did get an offer from the Vikings. But then Atlanta came in with 4 years, 180, with $100 million of that guaranteed. So the money was right for Kirk Cousins. Again, this is a guy who, he was drafted the same year as RG3 with Washington. So they drafted the two guys, and he was kind of thought as, you know, a backup then out of Michigan State, but found a way to become a starter for Washington for a while, and then Minnesota. They signed him to take them over the hump. They were kind of in, this is where I see some parallels to the Knicks situation. They had gotten to the conference finals, being the NFC championship game, with Case Keenum, I believe it was. And then they dumped him for Kirk Cousins, who never even got them back there. Guy's won one playoff game. He's made so much money in his career. $300 million for one playoff win. So he signs at age 36 this long deal. And, you're kind of like, oh, okay, Atlanta. That's a lot of money. But when you sign that, you assume you're going to be the starter for a while. And then a month later, they go ahead and draft Michael Penix, which I was pro that move. Just because you got a bunch of money tied up into one guy doesn't mean that you don't secure yourself at that position. I mean, it is quarterback. You might want to do that, by the way. So you got to secure yourself at that position. But now he's saying he would have stayed in Minnesota. I don't know. I think Kirk Cousins just needs to accept where he is. He is a backup quarterback. He is Joe Flacco. He is Andy Dalton. I don't see him even in the Sam Darnold, Geno Smith run anymore. Now, he did have some good games for Atlanta. There was a shootout against the Buccaneers where he had four touchdowns. He had another four-touchdown, no-pick game against Tampa. The next time he saw him, beat Dallas with a three-touchdown game. Then he got hurt against the Saints, and in five games threw one touchdown and had nine interceptions over that time in the final five games that he played. And he was hurt, but he didn't let on how hurt he was, so he played through it, you know, costing Atlanta some games, potentially. Real close game against the Chargers could have cost him. Could have got Michael Penix Jr. in there sooner, who put up a valiant effort at the end and now will come into this season as the starter. And then, oh, by the way, I suck because I was hurt. Oh, really? Well, then why did... But if he says I'm hurt and doesn't play, well, then he will give up the job. So he's got to play through it, even though he's harming the team. I'm just not sure he's in a position... I mean, you can have regrets. You can have regrets, but I don't think he's in a position where he needs to be like, I was wronged or I got done dirty. You came, there was another quarterback. They're looking out for their future. You're 36. You got a bunch of money guaranteed. You played well. You got hurt. You downplayed it. You were bad. You got benched. I mean, you're not going to get the security blanket that you would if you were younger or better. And in Minnesota, how would it have played out in Minnesota? So McCarthy ended up getting hurt. Would that have still happened? And Sam Darnold was 14-3. Sam Darnold had a good regular season and then was bad in the playoffs. There's no chance on earth Kirk Cousins would have done anything better than that. That is what Kirk Cousins does. So I don't know. This whole thing is weird. Kirk's just got to be like, this is the end of the road for Kirk Cousins. And you don't like how it happens? I'm sorry. But this feels like the end of the road for him. Big C is in Atlanta. What's up?
Hey, hello, bud. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, I'm with you with Kirk Cousins, but I'm not all the way with you with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins did something wrong by tricking a team, but Kirk Cousins, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure I know he was like player or offensive player of the year, not the year of the week. I think twice, and we was rolling. And the man got hurt. And see, and one thing I think, you know, a lot of people here is upset about here in Atlanta is that, okay, Kirk Cousins did wrong. Kirk Cousins is a he's a good quarterback when he's healthy, but not a guy going to lead you to a championship. So the point of it is, I think you're missing, is the coach for Atlanta. The coach for Atlanta made bad move by not understanding that this guy, you know, couldn't throw the ball a certain miles an hour, you know, once he was hurt and stuff like that. And he saw, I mean, you don't go from being player of the week, you know, back to back, but in a certain period, and then you just go to nothing. And see, that was a good coach when he analyzed and he look at that and take that. And Kirk Cousins, if he's healthy, he is not a terrible quarterback. He just made stupid, you know, decisions that he made this past year. And now, but Atlanta coach is to me, it's the real problem because, I mean, he need to go back to the first grade and learn how to count. You got 40 or 50 seconds with two timeouts, and you let the clock run down to 12 seconds. We had the other guy there, and you still blew the game. So, I mean, you know, Kirk Cousins is not the answer, but I think.
Did he swear? Yeah. Was that or not? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think his accent's very strong. But just in case, we don't let anything pass around here.
Yeah, we're 100% of the time.
60% of the time, I'm doing my job 100% of the time.
I think part of the conversation there was regarding he was playing well, then he was playing poorly, but it was because he was hurt too. I do remember as that was happening, you'd watch him week in and week out, and it's like, what are we doing here? That game against the Chargers, he threw four interceptions. Michael Penix, I thought he was my QB1 in this draft. He was mine, and we don't know what the results are going to be. That's going to be a hard bar to clear now because everyone looks so good. I mean, even Caleb Williams, who people are like down on, I thought Caleb Williams was fine. His line was terrible, but I thought he gave enough, and now he's got a new head coach, one that's going to actually teach him what to do, show him film. Obviously, everyone's high on Jaden Daniels. Bo Nix was a lot better than I thought he'd be. McCarthy, I think, will be good once he's healthy. And then the other guy, Drake May. I got it. Drake May looked good. So it's going to be a tough bar to clear for Penix. But he did clear the bar of you're better than Kirk Cousins. That I think we've accomplished. 888-710 for ISN, 888-710-4476. We will wrap things up. First, an update with Marco Belletti. 888-710 for ISN, 888-710-4476. I'm Bart Winkler. Pat Boyle coming up next. Yeah, I'm a pretty fun guy. I'm not sure I'm that fun, though. I think I'm a good hang, but I'm not like life of the party.
Agreed.
A lot of times I always like to go somewhere, but then when I get there, I'm like, God dang it.
You don't say.
Well, this not included.
I have met you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's kind of like, well, that was a weird day. I should have taken the night off. I did you dirty. I did you wrong.
I thought it was fine.
Yeah, it could have been more myself.
The only regret that I had is we didn't get absolutely hammered.
Well, and that was a mistake because I met you at the Cubs game on a Friday and then came back to work, but there was also a Brewer game in Milwaukee that night. Again, we just really bungled what that night day could have been. Could have been an all-timer. Could have just been an all-timer. But alas, you leave them wanting more. Which is normally how we feel when we get off the air with Greg in Michigan. Hello, Greg.
Alberto, it's the Warrior, Mr. Positive. Hey, I got to tell you, Alberto Winkler, fantastic Odyssey Sports Minute in Detroit, 9:50 a.m. I'm listening.
I know you love those sports minutes. Can't not get past you. I got two more burning your way tomorrow.
No way. What time? Mr. Positive and my Warriors want to know.
I've got no idea. I just lay down some tape and you tell me.
I definitely will. Trust me. Hey, I've been everywhere. On podcasts, Cuomo, everything. I've been everywhere, my friend. I'm a little bit tired. I'm proud of you. Talking politics.
Would you like? I'm not talking politics.
No. I wish you would. I would love for you to get into it. I think you've got something hidden that the world should know about. I just sense it. But real quick, the reason for my call, the Detroit Tigers. You don't realize how orgasmic it is in Detroit with these Tigers. Everyone's talking about them. Everyone's pleased. Do we need to do anything at the deadline? Unequivocally not. We really don't. We're hitting on all cylinders. Our pitching, our relief pitching, our hitting. People are coming here. People are going there. Oh, my God, Alberto. It's incredible.
59 wins.
Who really can beat us, really? Maybe the Dodgers. That would be it. You got Skubal.
Oh, my God. Biggest lead. 14-game lead. Jeez, what happened to the Central?
Right. And, I mean, we don't know what to do with ourselves.
We're not Detroit!
What about Detroit? Oh, my God, Alberto. Hey.
Well, this is where a team faces a big decision because you can – you built a good team, so do you say, all right, this is the start of many years to come, or do you say, screw it, we see that guy not too far from us in Pittsburgh, we're giving them whatever they want to get Paul Skeens here for a Skubal Skeens 1-2 punch come October?
Pittsburgh's not going to get rid of Skeens, but...
I don't think they've seen Detroit's best offer yet. I don't know. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Oh, my God, Alberto. You're talking like Mr. Positive. Hey, everybody, thank you, Alberto. Thank you, Carlos with a K. Everybody, go for your dreams, and I got to do it. Boom, shakalaka.
No, you, great. Greg wants me to get into political theater, Carlos.
Well, I don't know what's worse, that or Boom Shakalaka. I actually think
Boom Shakalaka is pretty rough.
It's pretty awful.
I did say something political tonight. I said that I'm interested in seeing the Superman movie. That got tied up in the culture wars, I guess. Superman. So.
Sure.
So I'm interested in seeing that movie. So I guess in today's climate, that was dipping into politics.
Yeah. Stay tuned for the Fifth Hour podcast where we'll really explore that.
Yes. I'm excited. Dude, there's like, I was going to book a ticket, but there's nobody that's booked any tickets yet at the theater I go to. And then I'm like, well, you know, should I set my alarm? But on Friday, it's like they have a 9:30, a 9:50, a 10:20, a 10:45. I can get up and go whenever I want.
That's great. I'm actually still trying to get a good seat on Sunday. Like, I'm in the building, but I'm like in the second row all the way to the right. So I'm just hoping some people like cancel out so I can move my seats.
Oh, man. You got like a packed house when you go. I get like 8 people in there.
I live in New York. I don't live in the sticks.
I even go further out in the sticks, too. I really stick it up. I go to a movie where they still like have a guy sitting there with the projector the whole time smoking a cig.
That's Man, I would love to rip a heater going in a movie theater. That'd be great.
That's where I'm at. Spencer is in California.
Hey, Bart. I've listened to your show for a long time. I
Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and mostly clear.
Yeah, sorry. There's a big fan in the background. Did you see that Giants game today?
Yeah, we talked about it a little to start this hour with the walk-off. That was pretty sweet. First walk-off inside the park home run by a catcher since I think Jeff Passan said 1923.
Yeah, I mean, every time you do that in your career, it's always something you're going to remember for a long time.
Yeah, so that's feeling good. Is that just your also, thought or what?
I was also going to talk about who thought the Giants were going to be nine games above 500 about just a little bit over halfway through the season before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I think the Giants were looked at as wild card contenders, and that's probably still what they're going to have to be, although the Dodgers are, they've won four in a row, Dodgers have lost five in a row, but I think everybody in the West looked at the Dodgers and then maybe the Padres and then maybe the Giants. So the Giants have been playing well. Devers now in the fold. A lot to be excited about.
Yeah. That's all I had to say, but I listened to your show for a long time, maybe 2 years, ever since you got a long time for me, but you know.
Well, the show's been on for about 2 years, so I think we're in the same spot here.
Thanks, Bart. Have a good night.
All right, Spencer. Thank you for the call. That kind of call and the one earlier, those are what we call productive outs. We moved the base runner over with that call.
Yeah, sack flies.
Productive out. It's time for tonight's WTF.
You don't have to go home, but we have to get the heck out of here. Here's tonight's Winkler's Thrilling Factoid.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Your nightly WTF.
What did you say?
Wait. WTF? What the?
Oh, my God.
Only on the Bart Winkler Show.
Big rule change in the NBA that I'm going to tell it to you, and you're going to think that it's going to be meaningless. But it will change how some players play. Especially at the end of the quarters. This was something that was tested in the G League last year and is now in effect for the Summer League and will be in effect for the regular season, I believe. Or is this just Summer League? Oh, boy, I should get some clarification on that. Anyway, what they're changing or hoping to change, is, you know, when players take that three quarters full shot right as the quarter's going to end, that has always count against their field goal percentage and their three-point percentage. And some players you see are reluctant to do it because they're thinking about their percentage. You may notice that. You've seen players that they're going to put it up. They let the clock go, and then they heave, you know, just to do it, to try to trick us to thinking that they're doing it. But they don't want to do it because it would affect their field goal percentage. So they're going to change that. So now an unsuccessful end of period heave will be recorded as a team missed field goal attempt and not an individual missed field goal attempt. So guys are encouraged to do it more because it won't be tanking their stats. Now, the part on the court that this would count on is if it's shot from beyond the outer edge of the center circle on the other side of the basket. So half court, the whole half court, and then the next little sliver to the end of the half circle. So it's about 36 feet and back if the play originates in the backcourt, if it's within the final 3 seconds of the first three periods of a game. Again, you may think this is nothing, but take a guy like Steph Curry. In 2022-23, he had a 42.7 three-point percentage. If you took out the heaves, he's at 43.2. In 19, he had a 43.7% three-point percentage. You take out the Heaves, it's 44-2. Okay? 1 year, in 17, it was 44-1 or 41-1. You take it out, it's 42-1. Steph Curry has been losing about a percentage point a year on threes because of Heaves. And he's still shooting 45%. So you're going to start to see guys take shots more because they're looking out for number one, and this doesn't count against number one. That's your WTF. I want to thank Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti, Jennifer Williams, and you. Pat Boyle's up next. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.